Hello and welcome to a special edition of the America Magazine podcast, and we're very excited to share some news with our listeners, and I will let Father Matt Malone introduce a first in the history of America.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. This morning at 11 a.m., New York Times, America published the English translation of an exclusive interview with Pope Francis, which he gave to all of the journals published by Jesuits throughout the world in the major language groups. It is a 12,000-word piece. It is unprecedented, certainly in the history of America Magazine, and probably in the history of papal communications. So it's a very, very exciting day.
Now, we've lived with this for a couple of weeks, but this is going to come as a surprise to many people. Maybe you can just give us the story of how it came about.
Sure. Well, it came about in a very matter-of-fact way. I was in my office, and I was talking with our editor-at-large, Father Jim Martin, and we were talking about our sort of general editorial approach to the new papacy. This was just after the election of Pope Francis. And he said, kind of offhand, why don't we try to interview the Pope? And I said, you know what? We should try to interview the Pope. And the reason why I was so kind of blasé about going forward was because I thought it's so unlikely and it would be so unprecedented that it probably wouldn't happen. But then again, we had just lived through, you know, 6 weeks of unlikely and unprecedented events in the resignation of Pope Benedict and the election of the first Jesuit and so forth. So we started to ask around and talk to people about how we might approach it. And, you know, everybody told us you need to talk to Father Federico Lombardi, who is the papal spokesperson. And Father Lombardi got back to us and said, well, he doesn't really like to give interviews and he doesn't really do it, but maybe, you know, we could work something out. And at that time, we also learned that our colleagues at La Civiltà Cattolica, the Jesuit journal published in Rome, were also interested in getting an interview with him. And so we decided to work in partnership, that it made sense to work with Civiltà Cattolica because they are also a Jesuit journal. They are they have a greater proximity to the Pope, and they enjoy a special relationship with the communications department at the Vatican. And so we did. And then over time, it grew to include the other editors of the Jesuit journals throughout the world. And we, basically, the editorial teams at each of those journals put together questions, sent them to Antonio. He compiled them, consolidated them, and then over the course of 3 2-hour sessions with the Holy Father in August, he conducted this extensive interview.
Now, this is these questions were submitted, as you said, by the Jesuit journals. And it was Father Antonio Spadaro, he's the editor of La Civiltà Cattolica, and he was the one who met with the Pope.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so he, but he was there on behalf of the Jesuit journals worldwide.
And America's role in this is that we were the ones to do the translation into English.
I mean, that's correct, yeah, which was no easy task and somewhat intimidating, I have to confess. This was the first time in America's history that we had ever been the primary vehicle through which the Pope spoke to the American people. And we had never published the Pope's words before as a first. So getting the translation right was a huge priority, and we worked on it for some time. And as I indicate in this issue of America, we had 5 independent experts in Italian, some native speakers of Italian, some academics, pore over the text. I myself read it about 6 times, I think, to make sure that we absolutely got it right, that we didn't just have a literal translation, but that we accurately presented what the Pope meant.
And as we say in the introductory note, we take responsibility for this translation.
We sure do.
So maybe you can reflect a bit. Obviously, there's a lot here in the interview, but in your introduction, the Of Many Things column, it's kind of the tone of it which you make note of.
I think that's right. I mean, we don't have, you know, as is typical with Pope Francis, the novelty here isn't in the teaching, because the teaching is the same. You know, he hasn't announced some new teaching. He hasn't changed some current teaching of the church. But that having been said, I think, you know, when you take together the interview on the plane and this interview that is appearing in America today, what we're witnessing, I think, is the birth of a new genre of papal communications, one that is less didactic, one that is less formal, one that is more fraternal instead of paternal. You know, there is an ease with which Francis speaks. There's a freedom with which he speaks. There's a humility. In a sense, it's the evangelization. It's a certain kind of evangelization that only comes from sincerity. I mean, this is who this man is, and he's not afraid to be who he is. And I think that that's enormously attractive to people. You know, Paul says that we must give an account of the joy that is within us. That is our most important responsibility as evangelists. And you'll see in this interview that that is precisely what Pope Francis does. And that joy, not a giddiness, but a genuine spiritual consolation, it, you know, infuses his thought, his outlook, his perspective, the words on this page. It's quite striking.
And you note here that this really is, there's no hint here, as you write, of the monarchical pre-conciliar papacy. This is it maybe officially marks the end of that epoch in the church.
I think it does. I think in a sense, I mean, we've been downgrading the papacy, the imperial papacy, for some time now, certainly since the Second Vatican Council, and each of the popes since then has made some contribution to that. Benedict himself probably making the greatest contribution by resigning, being the first to resign in several centuries. What I think we see here in Francis is an emergence of the pastoral papacy that was really fully envisioned by the council. You know, so I think we've had a series of steps from the late 1960s until today that have brought us from the monarchical papacy to the pastoral papacy. And I think what we're seeing in Francis really is a full flowering of that. I mean, he talks to us as our brother rather than as our father. And he talks to us as our pastor does, as a good priest would. And I think that that's incredibly refreshing. And I think, you know, his sincerity has its own eloquence. And that's why people are attracted to him. It doesn't surprise me that people would be.
It's an excellent point, because a lot of people have wondered, why is Francis, you know, connected with so many people? Given that the teachings really haven't changed, it's just his style is so different and really is touching people in so many ways.
Yes, and it's certainly not to suggest that previous popes were insincere, but he has a certain transparency.
Exactly.
That, you know, we're able to see and read his sincerity. And I think that that's very helpful in a culture, particularly a Western culture, that so highly prizes sincerity and authenticity.
And that's clear from the first few paragraphs of this interview, where Father Spadaro asks, who is Jorge Bergoglio? And he says, first of all, I am a sinner. And, you know, from the get-go, he's very sincere about, you know, his failings. And that's incredibly, you know, compelling.
Yeah. I thought what was most remarkable about that response, when he said, he was asked who he was, and he said, I am a sinner whom the Lord has looked upon. And I thought what was amazing about that was that he really, his identity is bound up in this personal relationship with the Lord, with God, his creator and his redeemer. And, I mean, any number of us, myself included, perhaps, we might be asked, you know, so who is Matt Malone? And I might begin with, well, I was born on Cape Cod. And, you know, we just tend to sort of gravitate toward the obvious and incidental. But for him, the answer to that question lay in this, at the heart of this relationship. And he speaks quite candidly about his relationship with the Lord, his manner of prayer, and his own failings as a human being.
It's interesting, for somebody who says he doesn't like the interview format, he comes across very well here. I mean, he comes across as very thoughtful, and maybe it was, you know, he has a degree of comfort with Father Spadaro, but It certainly came across very well on the page.
In a certain sense. Well, and for somebody who says that he doesn't do interviews, he seems to be doing a lot of them. Right? But in a certain sense, you know, he says something at the beginning that indicates to me that this interview, though he may not be attracted to the genre, is actually quite well suited to him. Because, you know, he says that, you know, he has a hard time talking to large crowds. And when he was at World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, and there were a million people on the beach. You know, he found that intimidating and difficult to grasp. But he says to Antonio Spadaro, you know, I am much more comfortable in situations where I'm speaking just to the person in front of me, and I'm concentrating on that person and engaging with their heart. And so in that sense, well, I mean, what kind of person could possibly be better suited to the interview format? So this may not be the last interview that we read with Pope Francis. And certainly if he wanted to do another one with America, we'd welcome the opportunity.
And you see here somebody who's very comfortable in his Jesuit identity, has a deep Jesuit spirituality. That certainly comes across, and maybe that was a certain comfort he had because he was sharing, talking with a brother Jesuit.
I think that that's true, and it's certainly true that Jesuits have, by virtue of our living the spiritual exercises and the constitutions of the Society of Jesus, we have a certain shared language and outlook and experience. And there were several places where we had to explain to the reader what the Pope was talking about, because the Pope assumed certain things that, you know, a Jesuit would know, but an ordinary reader may not know. And so, yeah, that is probably a major reason why the Pope felt so comfortable. And you can, I think you also see in the interview, he becomes increasingly candid as the interview progresses, and he also becomes more passionate. There are more exclamation points in the last third than there probably are in the first two thirds.
Well, perhaps we'll leave it there, leave our listeners to go and read this interview. And also, you can read it on our website in the print magazine, also available as an ebook. And the URL address is americanmagazine.org/pope-interview. And we want to thank Father Malone for introducing this exciting news to us.
Thank you very much.